Elizabeth and Jason, thanks so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thank you.
So let's start with some background. What first got you both into music, and when did you first begin writing songs?
Go for it.
I was always into music, but I was afraid about making it. I was kind of a scaredy cat for a long time growing up. Not like in general, but with music, I guess. And I started writing music when I was 20, and I was living alone in a house for the first time, and I was living in France, so I didn't know anyone, and I didn't speak French yet. So I started writing songs obsessively and learning how to play the guitar. And then, kind of kept going from there, eventually started showing other people, and had a couple of bands before this, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Jason? When did you first start playing music?
So I started playing drums when I was 11. There was a guy that painted our house, and he came over, and he was a drummer. And then so he became a family friend, and then he kind of taught me since then. And always been into music, and just like I remember going to live performances and just kind of deciding then that I really wanted to continue playing drums and making an entire live venue shake a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like live performance for both of us. It was for me too. Like I loved seeing shows and I loved watching people perform music. Yeah.
And you said you lived in France. That was when you were a kid?
No, I moved there when I was 20, and I lived there till I was 24. I actually went to drama school in France, and by the end of drama school, it was like a very, very serious, competitive international drama school. And by the end of it, I was totally only interested in music, and haven't. Well, I guess I did. I've done one play since then, but haven't really been involved, and have been focusing on this stuff.
Well, I definitely have a question coming up later about your acting. But I want to stay on kind of like the band name, like Lily St. Anne. Mm. I was reading that it was that you grew up in a Catholic home.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that's played a role in influencing any of your music, like growing up in a Catholic family.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, wow. I think that like cuts really deep, Nolan. It's like turning into like a psychoanalyzing session here. How does Catholicism shape your self expression? I think a big thing for me with the name is actually when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a saint, and I have this really vivid memory of running around the gym in PE class and thinking, like feeling the sensation of my shorts like bouncing and like jogging and thinking about how I wanted to be a saint. And the reason was that, you know, everyone's named after saints in my world at that time. So all my friends had names after saints, and I was like, I want people to name themselves after me. So it's like I just wanted to be famous. So the like most obvious route for me was to become a saint. And I kind of got obsessed with that like in a weird way for a lot of years and was like super religious as a kid. And I think that's like it's fun for me to call like to have saint in the name because it's sort of this like reclamation of self-expression in the face of Catholicism, if you will, because it's so patriarchal and it's so like out of your control, kind of, especially as a woman. I think there's really no potential for leadership in Catholicism as a woman unless you've died and been martyred. And so it's like you really can't win. So I think it's fun for me to like call sainthood in that way.
You mentioned earlier that you played in lots of bands before taking up the name Lily St. Anne. Were you kind of the front person or writer in those bands, or more of like a support musician?
Yeah, I wouldn't say a lot. I had one project called Lily and the Dirty Moccasins, so I still use Lily. That's been a constant. And that was more of it kind of solidified more as a bluegrass band. I was in Virginia at that point, so that was sort of the culture that I was a part of. And then I was part of a duo for a while that was like way more experimental. And that was actually, that's really my only experience kind of playing right hand man. So I was adding into someone else's project and he still performs under the name Suanzu. So kind of interesting. I definitely like prefer being in charge because I'm a control freak. So It helps.
When was it that you first kind of struck off on your own, performing your own original music?
Actually what happened is I was writing some of these songs and I was playing them for friends in the drama school like I was talking about. And then a friend of mine from that school was a drummer, and a friend of hers had offered her studio time, but she didn't have any songs of her own. And so she actually asked me if I wanted to use the time. So I got to use the studio for a week, just sort of as like a favor, you know, for free. And I brought in a bunch of friends of mine, and it ended up being all women. So I think there were like around 10 women involved in that initial recording. And that's where I came up with the name Lily and the Dirty Moccasins, because we had to name it something. I don't know if I even have those recordings, sadly. I think they got lost somewhere along the way. But yeah. What was the question? I totally forgot what we're talking about.
I forgot too, but we're moving on to the next
cool,
one.
Cool, great.
The next question is, today you're playing, it's just the two of you, Jason and Elizabeth, and Jason on drums. And is when you perform in Portland, is it normally just the two of you? Do you bring in other musicians, or what's sort of the usual lineup?
When we play in Portland, we have a bassist, and he's wicked. Shout out Sam Arnold.
In a good way. Buddy. In a good way.
Super,
yeah, yeah.
Super
he's
good.
He's insanely talented. And it adds a lot to the show, and we love playing with him. But touring, because we're just on tour, we figured that we could just take off the both of us and cover fundamentally what we sound like and what we do in a really cool way. So it's so much easier to negotiate with two people up and down the coast, you know?
Just easier to travel, and, you know, it's a DIY tour, so money is tight. So the two of us, we can kind of make it work. Sam's also newer. He's a new addition.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about your writing process. How does it work when you first kind of write a song like on your own, and then how does it work when you're bringing it to the band and kind of sort of like fleshing it all out as a group?
Yeah, it's interesting because I definitely made the name Lily St. Anne because I started writing these songs that didn't fit into the old vibe, I guess. And so I figured I needed a new name, and I really wanted to be solo at that point. So I started writing these songs, and then I met Jason pretty soon after that and was like, ah, oh no, it's going to be a band again. it's a good thing. So songwriting is always interesting. I think it's like every song is different. So sometimes it's like I have a couple songs that kind of came out all at once, sit down, and it just sort of like happens. And then I have some songs that are sort of Frankensteins, you know, like pieces of journals and bits of melodies that sort of eventually find their way together in a song. And songwriting is definitely like a pretty lonely process. And that's one of the things I love about music is you have this really intimate, like, inward process that then you get to share with other people and collaborate with them and kind of bring it alive. And then you get to share with like a ton of people. And hopefully, like, even more than that, like, through recording and stuff. So I love those different layers of sort of socialness that are involved in music. As a band, it's really interesting because I'm like a folk songwriter. I mean, that's my background, and that's kind of how it feels when it's just me. And then I bring them to Jason, who's a hip-hop funk drummer, fundamentally. And so he, like, always has something interesting to say musically about it, and it kind of pulls it in two directions. And I think that's where the juiciness is happening for us, is like this sort of unnameable thing that comes out when we take these songs in this direction.
Word. I feel like I get to, what's really cool about just like having this duo so far is that we've been playing a lot with songs that you've written before and approached me with. And then it's a lot of fun to like kind of figure out a drum part to these songs, because there's so much room to breathe. I feel like there's a lot of like fluid blending of our parts, and it's tons of fun to work with and to drum to.
So I want to talk about like when you're getting ready for this tour, you found out that it was just going to be the two of you. So what was it like kind of preparing for this tour with that in mind that, you know, we kind of have to adapt to prepare to present these songs, just the two of us without a bass player?
I think it was, I was pretty insecure about that, actually, in a way. I don't know. I wasn't sure if it would work. I think this is broader than just that question, but like this whole tour has been kind of a major affirmation that we like what we're doing and we're going to keep doing it. I think there's a lot of like testing, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's a relatively new project. And so, and this is our first tour too. So it was just sort of this question of like, okay, like if we go into a room full of people who have no idea who we are, who have no reason to be nice to us, are they going to like this? Or is this going to work? Is this going to connect with anyone? And it has been, and it's been really, really positive. I think one of the things that we've been so excited about is we've started figuring out what these songs are about, what we're about, like what we're trying to do, and kind of been able to articulate for the first time what we want our statement to be, I guess. And it's been really cool because I think it does work between just the two of us. We want it to be really rhythmically and vocally tight. And that's what's kind of come across, I think. And so, like, that's where the structure of the song is starting to bloom, which is really fun.
When you're planning and executing your own DIY tour, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges and some of the biggest rewards of that experience?
Yeah. It's been, like, such a huge learning curve. I had no idea what I was doing. I had some advice from a few people, but it's been really, really positive again. I think one of the biggest challenges is just, I think it's like, it's more the conversation in my own head, like the doubts that creep in and the insecurities that crop up and just like standing up for what you're making. When you, like, that's the thing, like, if you're promoting someone else's work, you know, you can objectively see what's good about it or whatever, what the strengths are. And when you're promoting your own work, it's like, oh man, I don't even know what this is. Like, and like learning how to talk to people about it and learning how to like stand up for it and say, this is a really cool thing. Like, you're going to want this in your town or your city. Like, you're going to want this at your venue. You know, just learning how to stand up for it, I think, has been really important. And looking back, like, I think I've grown a lot in that way, just kind of believing in it and believing in myself and believing in what we're doing. And then just, yeah, like the little things, like where are we going to park the car? I'm like, you know, I don't know, like how are we going to eat? And what is this going to cost? And like just having no clue.
Hunting wild game.
Hunting wild game. How many weapons did we need to bring?
It's so hard to find a wild boar in L.A. downtown. Berries for gathering.
Yeah.
And okay, now I want to talk about the character that inspired your music video and the song that you that you played. And so, yeah, I guess just tell me about that music video that, you know, that was inspired by this character that you played, and what was that acting experience like, and how did it guide writing the song and the video?
Yeah, cool. Well, the music video, Nolan, is really just us in the studio, so it wasn't, like, too deep there, I guess. But, yeah, that wasn't – it's a cool song. I really like that song a lot. It's one of my favorites that we do. And it's definitely the only song that's ever been inspired by, like – I don't know how to explain it. But, yeah, I was playing this character in this play who is this, like, really desperate woman. She's, like, really – you know, didn't have a lot of love in her life and was really desperate for attention. And it was a lot of like misplaced energy sort of, and like really trying to be noticed. And that was all wrapped up in like this really dark comedy about beauty queens and porn stars. It was a really absurd play. So that song came out, I wrote it during the performances. So that ran for maybe, I think, a month or two. And during those performances, I wrote the song, and it's sort of like a lullaby, like a soothing lullaby to this character that like everything's going to be okay. And it was interesting because it's kind of like talking to myself. And I think that's it's actually one of the moments where the double mics started making a lot of sense to me, because it's kind of like two voices in my head. So it's like a conversation with myself. Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you miss about acting?
I think it looks like I changed what I was doing, but I actually think that music is doing what I was trying to do in theater, but like much more directly and efficiently. Because to me, music is just the most effective way to communicate with people. And I think like the state that I get into when I perform music is the state that I always wanted to get to in acting and was always really frustrated that I couldn't, because there was always this sort of like wall of self-consciousness, I think. And talking to actors now, like my friends who do theater, they're all like, yeah, you're never going to get into a pure state of flow when you're acting. There's always going to be that like limit. So that's interesting, because that state of flow is what's so fun about performing music. Just like really kind of the ecstasy of losing control and like just hitting a groove with someone else and with the audience.
And you've already done a pretty amazing job of touching on this, but I want to like kind of rephrase the question. What are some ways that live music, you can express yourself in ways that you can't with acting, and vice versa?
I don't know. I am interested in like bringing more elements of like my theater background into our show. Like at this point, I don't think there really is much that we're doing in that way. But you know, we've been talking more about like bringing more art elements in, or like visual elements, or kind of more performative things. We're just talking actually right before this interview about a performance that we're going to be doing next month, where I'm going to weave in some narrative into the songs, like storytelling. And we're actually going to work with a dancer as a collaboration. So I'm really interested in bringing together those elements, but it's like heavy lifting. And so I think it'll little by little, we'll be able to weave those things in. Yeah.
If I may chime in.
Sure.
also, I feel like this may be a thing. There's also a lot of, in each song, when we perform live, there's a lot of improvisational elements every single time, which I'm assuming you can't really do when you're acting as much.
No, that's not true.
No,
I think it's really related, actually. Mm. I think that kind of comes together on that. That's interesting.
For sure.
But yeah, we do leave a lot of space for improvisation. Mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite part about playing with other people, is like that conversation that happens. And we're playing a song on tour. It's a cover. It's Sinner Man. It's an old African-American spiritual that Nina Simone did in the 70s. And it's an amazing song. And that is like totally open. We've done it. It's really different every night. And we leave that purposefully really open. And it's just like always a surprise and a thrill to see what like we come up with that night and like how we decide to do it. So yeah, it's fun.
Well, I have two questions left. The second to last question is, what's sort of the best songwriting tip or piece of advice that you've gotten?
Oh, that I've gotten?
Yeah. And that you can give.
Pass on. I don't know if anyone else told me. I think I gave this advice to myself, but I'll be so bold as to say it's the best advice I've given myself. It's that... something really clicked for me in writing songs pretty early on when I realized that it didn't have to make sense, especially not in narrative sense. And I've always loved poetry. I've always written a lot of things that could kind of, I don't know, like maybe more like prose poetry kind of pieces. But I always felt like in songs you had to like tell a story for some reason, and that always really hung me up and made like these really cheesy kind of things come out. And then when it clicked that like, oh, this doesn't have to make sense. I can just put words together that I like the sound of, or I can connotate different, you know, like colors, and I don't know, like giving myself that freedom to just kind of be nonsensical sometimes really opened up what I started writing about in a cool way. And I kind of want to keep pushing that, actually. I think I still get pretty hung up on like quote unquote making sense. I don't know. I think about like Hiatus Coyote again. I always bring them up, but that's like a great example of like, what the heck is she talking about? Like, no one knows. But it's the words are so like delicious, and the way she enunciates those consonants. Like, I don't know. Like, I could geek out on that. But Yeah, that's what Stacy. Oh, and, oh my gosh, you're like, be quiet. I think along with that, I think this is interesting for me, is realizing that, like, I really don't listen to lyrics in music ever. Like, I don't pay attention to lyrics. And it always really frightens me when people tell me that that's, like, the most important part of music for them, because I'm like, oh, no, that means they're going to listen to my lyrics. And I really believe that lyrics are there to inspire the singer. So, like, but, like, ultimately the emotional content of the song is all in, like, the voice itself, like, the tone. I don't know. That's, for me, that's, like, what communicates. So that always, like, freaks me out when people tell me they're listening to my lyrics.
Well, what's the name of the song that you're playing for us today, and what can you tell us about it?
So that song's called Wolves, and that's kind of been like the name of our tour, is the West Coast Wolves Tour. And it's going to be it's the first single off of an EP that we're working on. I think it's going to be 5 songs, and it's going to be called Bone Marrow. And through the course of the tour, we've kind of figured out what it's about. And it's there's 3 animals. There's wolves, lion, and crow. And they each sort of illustrate, I guess, a different feeling. And wolves are about fear. So the song that we played today is about like the fear that's around us. And I think especially this past year, and that's when I wrote the song, was like feeling a lot of fear and kind of unnameable fear. And like sort of the way that like hearing a wolf in the distance would like creep you out, freak you out, make you uneasy. I've sort of been feeling that way. And so the song is about falling in love and being in love even while you hear the wolves howling.
Another cool thing about that song is that's the first one that that Elizabeth sent me that I was really into, which made me kind of want to work with her, with you.
Just kind of.
Yeah. I was listening to it with my friend, and we were in my basement. I was like, oh, dang, shoot.
Good radio words
there.
Yeah.
This ish is super cool. And then I got inspired. I kind of, like, jammed with it a couple times. Just the audio. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know that. Yeah. That's cool. I
put it in my headphones.
Nice.
And I picked up my sticks. Rocked with it.
Yeah, so that's kind of the first song. That actually, yeah, that is the first song that I wrote, and I was like, uh-oh, this doesn't fit with the previous stuff. And then it's kind of the beginning of this whole project, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, Elizabeth and Jason, thanks so much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nolan.
Thanks.